welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us today. And I just want to say that right now we're, first off, we're CCTA is a nonpartisan organization. we're going to have a couple of candidates on the show today. And I just want to let everybody know, if you are a candidate and want to be on the show, you're welcome to come. We may give you some hard questions, but you're welcome to come and be on the show, and regardless of party. Again, welcome. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kim Fink.
Pat Park.
Mike Spichelli.
Glenn Fink.
Marlenez Hernandez-Navoa.
Morris Hallen.
Well, again, thank you, everybody, for coming. Mary.
If you would like to be on the show, email bob at cctaxpayers.com, and we will schedule you. We're going to start out with one of our candidates today. Michael Spichelli is running for the North Carolina Senate. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, a little bit about my background. I was the state representative here in the North Carolina House for 8 years. I'm a conservative, Christian, all the things those of us on the right want to be. The difference is I've got a history of voting, and I've got a history of being conservative, and I've got a history of all the things that I claim to be. So I have a website. It's speciallymichael.com. And if you have any questions, can I give my number, my phone number?
Sure.
It's 252-635-5326. If you want to ask about issues or anything else, that's my home office. And I will gladly get back with you.
Michael, can I ask you to repeat that number one more time for the folks?
252-635-5326. And I'm in the New Bern phone book. That's a landline. You can't text it.
Do you have an email, Mike?
My email is Spichelli for Senate, S-P-E-C-I-A-L-E for Senate, at gmail.com.
Well, thank you. So now, you want to fill us again a little bit more of your background?
Well, I'm a retired Marine. I've been married for 50 years to my lovely wife, Hazel. She was my legislative assistant for 8 years up there. We were told we had the best constituent service up there while we were there. So we've always been responsive to the people in this district, and that won't change. We've been, and I say we because Hazel and I are a team. So, you know, if you vote for me, you're voting for her. She's coming up with me. She'll be my Senate aide again. So we make a good team. We've always been transparent. I've always been transparent. I hold every year town halls in each one of the counties that I represent, and that will continue. I've called back here many times. Actually, some of the people sitting here at the table know this, and they've responded. It's a team effort. One senator, regardless of who wins this thing, one senator, one representative, he has one vote. The people back here in the district have always been responsive. They've come to Raleigh. They've packed the meetings. They've become the experts, like Kim Fink sitting here on the panel here, who was our Common Core expert. And went toe-to-toe with the superintendent of public instruction, and turns out she knew more about than the superintendent did. but we've accomplished a lot over the last, over the 8 years I was up there. I left there. I committed to three or four terms. I finished four terms, and I did not run again. So now this opportunity comes up, and I'm ready to go and fight for you some more.
What do you see as the most important issues to hit the Senate this coming year?
Well, the Senate has all kinds of issues. they're going to be probably looking at the casino bill again, which is a non-starter for me. I'm hoping, well, I'm going to push, you know, I'm going to put something in because education needs to be addressed. We've got issues in education. That covers everything. I mean, that covers every facet of our life because the kids are growing up. They can't read. They can't write. Employers are stressed to hire people and have to teach them the basics. 75% of the people that go to college end up having to take remedial courses. That doesn't speak well for our high schools. And it's not the teachers. The teachers are generally not the problem. It's the system. It's the entire system. It's what's being mandated. There's a lot of stuff being mandated in the schools that don't need to be, and have nothing to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I'm going to be, if I end up back up in the Senate there, I'm going to be looking at addressing some of those issues.
What is your stand on medical marijuana?
It's a non-starter for me, and the reason is that's the first step to recreational marijuana. Here's the problem with recreational marijuana. And this was a hard decision for me because I believe in freedom. I believe adults need to make their own decisions. The problem we have here is if you look at Colorado, the first year that they allowed recreational marijuana, 70%, I'll say it again, 70% of the people that were pulled over on the road were high. They were high on something. That's a scary prospect that somebody is driving a one-ton vehicle down the road, a projectile, at 60, 70 miles an hour, and they're high. So, and again, there was a bill when I was up there for medical marijuana. Initially, I was inclined to support it. It had glaucoma. I had a couple of items on there. But as the bill went through a period of time through committees this and that, the list got longer and longer and longer until I realized that what we have here is a recreational bill. Okay, when you start talking about mental health, and that's it, then that covers everything. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, I just need it. I'm stressed. So you're never going to be able to contain it to just medical. It's going to end up being recreational, and that's what we need to think about.
Could you go back a little bit and talk more on your stand of why you stand where you stand on casinos?
The situation that we're in with the casino bill we're in, okay, for this particular situation, there was a lot of strong-arming going on behind the scene. It's a no-bid award. They picked the locations. And this isn't just on casino. I mean, on Indian lands. This isn't what we're used to in the past. This is going on North Carolina property. I mean, not state property, but it's going in North Carolina. And it's going to be the same vendor for the casinos, the same. All of this stuff is dirty, as far as I'm concerned. It's dirty. And there were strong arming, and there were threats to the members and the senators, and I don't do that. So just simply based on the procedure that this bill was going through, I would not have supported it. But I don't support casinos because the people who are least in a position to afford to use them are going to end up using them.
Mike, I just want to make a comment on the marijuana issue. When Colorado approved recreational marijuana, I was in New Mexico prosecuting drug cases. And I said at the time, he's going to attract a lot of people to the state of Colorado that you do not want to attract. And sure enough, all these people that wanted to blaze up, as they call it, all moved to Colorado. They had big bonfire events where everybody was sitting out there smoking marijuana. And it was a couple of years later that the governor was brave enough to admit that he had made a mistake supporting that. And as a former prosecutor, I know what drugs do, and I don't care what people say, marijuana is a gateway drug, and we don't need it here. And you're right, once you get the medical in, here comes the recreational, and it just creates another black market for marijuana. We don't need any more than we've already got.
When it comes to the government, every time the door is kicked open, every time the door is cracked, they end up kicking it open.
And I'd like to add that for both of these situations with the marijuana as well as the casinos, people can go to Open Secrets and find out what people's campaign finance reports are. And if you follow the casinos, you would notice that there was a lot of money following these Senates. The Senate influence did not reflect the constituency of the places that the casinos were recommended to go. So for any of these bills, I would recommend people to do their own homework and look at where the money financing these senators is coming from, because the senators specifically, and this is my humble opinion, which is worth what you pay for it, is that the Senate is representing each other instead of their constituency. There's too many things that happen based on money. There's too much money in the politics. We have a Senate leader who threatens other senators by withholding campaign funds. I find it sickening that this country is run on the money. Who has the most money is winning the elections, and that's wrong. That's not representing me.
Is that Kim opensecrets.org?
Yes, that's what I was going to say, opensecrets.org.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to say one more thing about the medical marijuana. There are plenty of other drugs on the market that will relieve pain, will do what they needed to do. So to say that we have to resort to, because the marijuana has to be smoked in order for it to be effective, okay? It has to be smoked in order to be effective. So to say that we have to have this, it's just, it's not true. It's not correct. And the research will bear that out.
And of course, everybody's worked hard to try to stop smoking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is when you see the legalization and somebody's going to say legalize so we get the tax revenue, well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to build an underground economy in getting around the taxes.
Exactly.
Well, we already have that. We already have underground marijuana distribution. We just don't need to have it poke its ugly head. And as long as it remains illegal at the federal level, it doesn't make sense for states to piecemeal out legalized marijuana.
There is a documentary, I believe it's on Netflix, called Murder Mountain, that talks about what happened. I think it was in Northern California when they legalized marijuana and the impact that had. And the thing that was so frightening was the people that were harvesting it had no regard for the people that were working in the industry, and people disappeared and were never heard from again. And it's chilling. It's just chilling to watch that.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with us. This is a CCTA wake-up call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. First off, Mary, go ahead.
Michael, we have one more question for you. Why should we vote for you?
You should vote for me because I am the candidate with experience. I am the candidate who has proven transparency. Again, I have town halls every year. We're going to see something different this year coming up after the elections, because no matter who we elect for governor, this or that, Tim Moore is leaving, Speaker of the House. So what we're going to end up with is Phil Berger, who is the President Pro Tem of the Senate, is going to be the most powerful politician in the state. And so if we don't get some people up there who can pull other people together, who are going to will try to band together and affect some legislation here, things are going to get out of control. And I firmly believe that because they're already out of control.
I have a question for you. As to the value of your former experience, isn't it true that the state legislature, every state legislature, they have all, and the Congress, they have arcane rules? It takes you a while to get up to speed on how to not miss a vote, how to show up for a vote, how to work a committee assignment, all of that stuff. How long did it take you to get familiar with all of that?
It took a couple of years, and I did get hoodwinked on one bill because I didn't fully know the procedures, and they were able to pull one over on me and change some things in that bill, something that couldn't happen again.
Okay.
Where are we going from here?
Marlenis is a candidate for lieutenant governor, and we're going to ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little about your background.
Good afternoon. My name is Marlenis Hernandez Novoa, and I'm running for Lieutenant Governor for our great state. I am a paramedic and a firefighter. December of 2023, it's been 25 years. I've been married for 25 years, December the 23rd of 2023. I have four children. I had two. I stopped, and I have two more to attend the Awake County School Board Systems. My daughter has a disability. She was born with two deletions, 10 and 18, so she has 44 chromosomes. So she is going through a lot in that system. I have a bachelor's in management, so I took an extra couple of classes in management to manage, you know, basically hospitals, fire departments, protocols. And then I have a master's in health administration with a concentration of clinicals that I took separately.
Very good, very good. So why are you running for this office?
Because this state needs to be fixed. Not changed, it needs a lot of fixing. Coming from schools, I don't like what I see. The schools are not safe for the children. The buildings are not safe at all, being an inspector too. Education, they're not educating our children at all. They've erased history, they've erased civics, cursive, languages, PE, they're trying to take out of our schools, recess. Our children cannot talk to anybody while they're eating breakfast or lunch. The one thing that I have noticed in the past year and a half, they're locking the bathrooms. They're taking the toilet paper holders. They're taking the hot and cold. They're just taking everything out of the bathrooms and they're selling them on Marketplace. They're just doing things that are not normal. They're telling my children, other children, what to do, what to wear, how to dress. I went June 6, 2023 to Cary. I signed up. I was not told. They just said register, and I showed up. The left side was all for the books and the transgender. The right side is where I sat at. So I'm glad I sat on that side. And when they called me up, I just looked and they said, it's your turn to talk. So I went up there, and I just remember out of the whole staff, there was two people that I recognized. And then they put the timer on me. It was the red, green, and yellow light. And I'm like, I can handle that. I'm not colorblind. So I basically just said, you've messed with the children in North Carolina, and God's going to take care of you. You're a Democrat, you're a Hispanic woman, and I'm disgusted, and I'm running for lieutenant governor. And it was all recorded. So I didn't have Twitter at the time, because I don't like the phones and the controlling, and I don't think kids should have iPhones and iPads. Those things are, I didn't have that as a child. I was always outside playing, doing laundry, cooking, cleaning. I did what I had to do to help my mother so she could go to work. I love using my hands. K-12, chainsaw, gardening, cooking, that's what I call grassroots. We have to go back to our grassroots. We cannot blame a pandemic. That pandemic does not exist.
I have a question for you. As Lieutenant Governor, one of your seats that you are on is the State Board of Education. In your role on that board, do you see where you could influence the areas of, say, getting rid of Common Core?
Yes, I will be in charge of Mike, the senators. I mean, we'll all work together. I will go from the top.
Good.
And I will start from the top, and whoever is not doing what they're supposed to do, they're gone. And it's basically like an organizational chart. From the top, I'll go to the bottom. I'll replace, for example, where I'm at. He was in Bladen County. He destroyed Bladen County, which is District 7. He went to Mississippi, destroyed Mississippi, because I called over there. Then he went back, called Bladen County, and then Wake County hired him. And he's getting paid too much money, and he hasn't done anything. He's destroyed our schools.
Well, the issue is that these people, most of them are appointed by the governor.
Correct.
So the control of who sits in seats is not one that you would have control over, but you would have the voice to influence others.
Correct. And I would basically just, I wouldn't, I if being lieutenant governor, if I do get that seat, I will basically start from scratch. And I would go back and say, what did I have when I was in school? I would have a good platform. I would have good people that I can trust. And that's where I would start, from the ground up. We need to destroy what we have right now and start from the ground up. We need to make sure that teachers, we go back and not reach. I think every teacher needs to be retrained, no matter what, because the teachers don't feel safe at all. There's no cameras. There's nothing. It's he said, she said. And in a court of law, that doesn't count. If you have a camera, you can prove what happened. Our teachers don't feel safe. Our children don't feel safe at all. They don't want to go to school. There's been parents that have been forced to stay at home. One parent goes to work, one parent stays home because the economy, inflation has gone up, and they want to teach their children the way that they were taught. So a lot of people that pay taxes, property taxes, they're paying that, but their children are not going to school. So a lot of people have questioned me, why should we pay the why should we pay that if our children don't go down the street and don't go to that school? Why should we pay that? I said, that's a good question. I'll get back to you on that.
One of the things that you pointed out, intentionally or otherwise, is the importance of our vote for governor. Because, as Kim said, the school board, and there are a lot of seats that are going to be appointed on that state school board. And we need some serious work on our schools. And we need conservative people who will get some of the junk out of our schools. Little kids in elementary school do not need to be exposed to transgender. That is ridiculous. And they don't need to put pornography in junior high. That's not helpful. And we need somebody with common sense in charge.
And we need somebody that's going to be vocal enough and not be go along to get along, but vocalize when you disagree, instead of just not showing up because my one vote can't make a difference. Show up and be the voice.
Correct. So when it comes to the transgender, no, period. That's not going to be in our schools if I get that seat. If I have to work 24 hours, 7 days a week, no. I've seen the books. I've seen the stamps. I've seen them all over Wake County. Now they're selling them out of a van. It's a group of mothers. No, that's not going to happen if I'm the next lieutenant governor. We need to put back the books that belong in the schools, elementary schools. What happened to Dr. Seuss books? That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, and Richard Scarry.
Exactly. We need to go backwards, and we need to bring back that into the schools. Bring back, why do we need so many, and this is just something that they asked me, it was very serious with the crayons. Why do we need 48? I said, I don't know what 48 crayons are. All I had was 8 colors. That's all we needed. That's confusing children with the colors. It's confusing children, period. We just need to go back to what I was taught, what other people were taught. Senators, whoever's in house with me, whoever works with me, I need to make sure, because that's my name. I want to make sure that where I'm sitting at, I represent this state, and I'm going to fight for this state. And I still serve this state as a paramedic. So when it comes to that, everything needs to be tied in. When it comes to healthcare, we don't have any nurses in our school. So girls, when they go to the office and they get their menstrual cycle, there's no nurse. There's nobody there. There's a mom that says, buy a panty on Amazon with China, and you don't have to wear one of those pads. Now we're dealing with UTIs, yeast infections. There goes $10,000 bill, all because we're doing what a mom sitting there on her phone told our child what to do. We can't do that. We as parents have to educate our children so when they go to school, they know what to do in school. And if not, they have to call the parents, and the parents pick up their child.
One other quick question, because as the lieutenant governor, what would you do to restore history to being taught in our school system? By the way, we're going to run out of time very soon. The real answer that I want, why should we vote for you?
I want to bring back history into the school. Constitution, Pledge of Allegiance, and prayer. I don't know why everybody says prayer, no. Yes, prayer, yes. When we eat breakfast, that's the food that the school provided us. We pray and we thank our maker. If we eat lunch or snacks, we need to say, hey, where did that come from? We need to thank our maker. It's not, we all have a different maker. It's our maker. So those are the three things that I want to bring back to our schools. I just want the children to be safe. I want the children to want to get up and I want to go to school. I want to learn. That's what I want from the children of North Carolina and the parents. I want the parents to put their trust in me 100%.
Very good. Well, again, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back from listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, CCTA Wake Up Call. We're going to go to Mo to fill us in on the railroad, Mo, please.
Okay, well, first of all, a little background. I retired out of the FAA. I was a manager at headquarters running tactical security, airspace security. And then my wife promised me 3 to 5 years living on a boat. After four, she exercised her option. That's how we ended up in New Bern, and bought an old house downtown, started restoring it. I was using a table saw on the balcony and storing stuff in the pantry. Anyway, when I got it restored, I kind of discovered that retirement wasn't really for me. So I bought an old warehouse in the district in between the downtown historic district and the Riverside historic district. Because I figured if I needed a workshop, some other people needed a workshop. So my concept was to have a great shop and get other people to help me pay for it. So the training we do wasn't really part of my plan. It just kind of evolved. Now I have 5 instructors. We teach beginning woodworking. We teach introduction to welding, wood turning, CNC, and then we do some private lessons on different stuff. We also restore windows for sashes for the historic district. And we do a bunch of pro bono work. We've done pro bono for New Bern Historic Society, New Bern Preservation Foundation. Right now we're building windows for King Solomon Lodge, the first African-American Masonic Lodge in North Carolina. Habitat for Humanity, RCS, we're doing a bunch of that. Seems like they all kind of find us. Anyway.
And that's your company?
Hmm?
That's your company?
Yes.
What's it called?
Shop Class.
Okay.
And the idea is you can come in, we'll train you, and then you can rent time from me to do your own projects. And so I have a bunch from Carolina Colors, it seems like. And a couple of my instructors are also from Carolina Colors here. But so everything was going fine. Well, actually, I bought the building in 2016, spent all of 2017 restoring it. At one point, it had been the horse barn for the trolleys in town. It didn't smell very good. We got all that accomplished. And in 2018, we opened up. And at first, we were teaching from Craven Community College, introduction to woodworking. We parted company because they couldn't give me enough students. And so now we're independent. And one of my lead instructors is 78. As he puts it, he's been chopping on dead trees for 47 years. He's also a trained shipwright, so he's very talented. And most of my other instructors are pretty talented. I don't teach. I'm self-taught. I just write the paychecks. And anyway, started out in 2018 teaching, and along came a thing called Florence. And so we got restarted again. Along came a thing called, in 2019, I needed heart surgery. So then we got going again, started in 2000, along came COVID. So we've kind of recovered from all that. And in April of last year, along came the North Carolina Railroad Company. They sent me a letter that said that they did a survey in 2017, and all surveys before that survey were wrong. And the new survey has a 200-foot easement, 100 feet on each side of the railroad track, including wrong surveys. All maps were wrong. Everything's wrong for this survey. And including a 1955 comprehensive survey that the railroad did themselves. So they made me a good offer. If I pay them $4,000 a year, sign an agreement and buy insurance to protect them, they'll let me use my property. I hired an attorney, of course, and we've gone back and forth. Everything is in their favor. Unfortunately, kind of set up by the state legislature back in 2000. It's incumbent on me to find the deed from 1868 when the railroad got the property. Otherwise, it's 200 feet all over North Carolina, according to them. They've hired Warden Smith, pretty heavy-duty law firm. I do not have the resources to fight them. So what I started doing is fighting in the media. And I've started a website called ncrrdissolution.com. And I really believe the cure for me is dissolve this corporation. What the NCRR is, the oldest corporation in North Carolina. It started back with the railroad. And as a state, and they're wholly state-owned. 1998, the state bought all the shares of the North Carolina Railroad Company and been operating that way since. They have no accountability. They have very little where they have to divulge anything. They don't divulge what the board's paid. They don't divulge what the directors are paid. They don't have to tell you what their plans are. And they've missed on a lot of things. Go ahead.
I have a question for you. When you purchased this property, did you get title insurance?
No, I didn't. I made a cash offer. Title insurance would not help me at all. I own to the center of the railroad tracks. And then on my deed, it says, with the exception of the easement, and doesn't define the easement. And that'll be about every deed you find up and down the railroad tracks. So there's no title would tell me who owns the land.
Well,
I own the land.
Have a, it would have had a survey that would have been certified.
I had a survey. I have a 2009 survey stamped, done by Robert Childs, one of the better surveyors here. And it explicitly shows 50 feet each side.
So yeah. why is the legal in their favor if you have this the certified survey?
I have to find the deed. Now, the 1868 deed, it was four typewriters. They're all handwritten. I'm in Newburn, I'm a little lucky. I might find something out there. I'll be honest with you, I think the railroad's holding on to it. They don't have to divulge it. They're not, they don't have to go with FOIA.
They didn't have to file their deed with the city?
Who did? The railroad?
The railroad.
They have, yes.
Well, why can't you find it?
Well,
it's the city to find it.
1868.
Yeah, I know. It's the end of the Civil War. Did
yeah.
it burn? Is it gone?
A bunch of them did. Hopefully in Newburn, not. But we can't find it. We can't.
Okay, who's we?
My paralegal.
Okay. Have you asked the state to find it?
You don't ask the state to find it. You got to find it your own.
What do you mean you don't ask the state to find? They're the keeper of the deeds. They can't go find it.
They've been shipped all over the place. Duke University has some.
You called your representative?
Yes.
And what did they tell you?
It's the railroad. There's not much we can do.
That sounds like a cop-out.
It is.
What do you think? What do you think, Mike?
Steve?
Yeah, I've talked to Steve Tyson, also talked to Jim Perry. Steve Tyson was nice enough to come by. And my the city council, it's a railroad, not much we can do.
Well, there's houses and other objects around that have been deeded, had deeds since 1868.
And that's what's keeping them from suing me.
That's what's keeping who? The railroad?
Warden Smith and the railroad. Because it'd be precedent setting with me. And so they'd have to sue everybody around there. And one of them they'd have to sue is the city of Newburn.
Why don't you sue and ask for a declaratory judgment?
Could go there, but
again, that takes again, money.
It takes money.
I know, but it's a very short, it's a very short, simple lawsuit.
Not according to my attorney.
Pat's an attorney.
Pat, can he do pro se?
No. He doesn't understand railroad law.
Okay.
Mike, is this something that the legislature could help him with?
If the state owns it, then the state can get involved and fix it. Is there other property owners having the same issue?
Yes, across the street from me is Precision Woodworking and Molding. Very old business here in town. And he got the same letter. He's not affected as much. The expansion just catches edge of one of his storage buildings.
It was my phone, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're
asked
back.
You if it was something the state could help him with.
There's always something the state can do, especially if they own it.
Where do you got to go back to kind of pick this up, Bob?
Well, wait a minute. So if the state...
Just go ahead, Bob.
If the state owns the railroad, how is it being allowed to shield...
Well, that's a good question, and that's why I took some notes here.
Yeah, that doesn't pass the smell
because they should fall under FOIA and everything
exactly.
else.
No, they didn't. The Southern Environmental Law Center filed suit on them for public records and lost by the Supreme Court. They do not have to divulge information.
In the General Assembly, there's oversight committees for everything in the
yes.
state. So we just need to find out which committee has oversight over that.
Steve probably, Tyson's on it.
It's probably transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And find out, see what they can do on it.
Which, that's one of the lieutenant governor's roles.
Now, my understanding is that they have said to you, if you will pay them rent for your building and they want you to get some kind of insurance, that all this will go away.
Yeah, it doesn't really go away because a line goes right through the middle of my building. I would not be able to sell this property. I would not have bought this property with a 200-foot easement, 100 feet on each side.
Well, it amazes me that all the maps prior to this one map showed that you were out of the easement. The easement was 50 mm-hmm. feet. You were out of the way. And all of a sudden, they come up with this new map that supersedes all these other maps. All these 100 years, 200 years of maps were all wrong.
So I have filed a complaint with the North Carolina Board of Examiners for Engineers and Surveyors. They've accepted the complaint, and they're investigating. And that's where that stands. But yeah.
What was the complaint?
That their survey is not based on fact. And it's a real weird looking survey. Most surveys are just a map and dimensions and a stamp. Mm-hmm. This has got all that stamp and a one page explanation of how they got there. And it's very, very convoluted explanation. On the front page it says the Council for the NCRR does not warrant this information. On the last page, the surveyor's note says, we used the NCRR's attorney's information to do this survey.
Well, it would have been interesting to see what your title insurance would have turned up before you bought the property.
It would have turned up the survey I had, which showed a 50-foot easement.
Well, then you would have some recourse.
Well, the recourse would have been the title insurance. Attorneys would have been able to get involved because basically what you're trying to prove is fraud.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about property, not easement.
Right, but the fraud in the surveys.
Are these inspectors from North Carolina or are they from outside of the United States?
Inspector.
Where are these inspectors from?
Well, the surveyor that did it is from Kinston.
Okay, a lot of the surveyors that are here are not from here, just to give you an idea.
It's a company in Kinston.
We're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We're in the middle of quite a discussion. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. I'm going to go to Pat. Pat, you have a pertinent question.
I do, Mo. I assume you came on this show to tell the public what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you think the public can do to help you? What would you like us to do?
Well, I'd like for you to go to ncrrdissolution.com, and on there you'll find at the bottom of the blog articles I've put up there how to contact your legislature. Now, it's not just here in Craven County or New Bern. It's all over the state. And so please contact your legislature, and if you go to my website, there's directions on how to do that.
Okay.
And would dissolving this solve your problem?
It would probably solve my problem. It solved the problem in New Bern, and I think it'd solve the problem over the state. They have had quite a checkered history of doing this to other
businesses. So here again, follow the money.
Follow the money.
And I guess the bottom line question, of course, is how do we make that corporation accountable to the public?
You won't.
Well, the legislature has abilities to do things.
They haven't in the last 149 years.
Well, maybe nobody asked them hard enough.
Based on the state of education that we discussed earlier, half the people probably can't spell dissolution, so could you take
basically,
the
company needs to be dissolved. The state, there's only two states.
Well, I'm referring to your website.
Yeah, but there's only two states that own the railroad as a private company, us and Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of hits on my site from Georgia. I got a counter on it. By dissolution, what they do is dissolve that corporation, and their authority over a 317-mile corridor, which is owned by us, the state of North Carolina, would be turned over to where it should be, and that'd be under North Carolina Department of Transportation.
Now, would you spell
ncrrdissolution.com is your site.
Right.
Could you walk us through the entire spelling on that?
Okay. NCRR is the acronym for North Carolina Railroad Company, and dissolution, D-I-S-S-O-L, U-T-I-O-N.
Dot.
I knew how to spell it. I just want to make sure.
Dot com.
I haven't spelled it right. I'm amazed.
Very good.
Four syllables, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, now where do we want to go next?
Let's take a minute and kind of talk about the New Hampshire primary. We're recording this on Wednesday. The primary was yesterday. Donald Trump won by more than 10 points. When the numbers came out on the exit polls, 70% of Republicans voted for Donald Trump. 70% of the people who voted for Nikki Haley were independents or Democrats. Nikki Haley's best showing was in a college town, which is not a surprise either. Anybody have any comments?
Well, the only comment that I'm going to add, if you go back to Iowa, the one county that Trump did not win was likewise a college town that ran out of registration of party affiliation change forms and mm-hmm. voter registration forms.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Trump complained that they have an open primary. And there's a lot to be said for closing the Republican primary to Republican voters only. I don't know why Democrats and unaffiliated get to vote in the Republican primary. That's where you pick your candidate. And as far as I'm concerned, only Republicans should be voting in it.
We've had that fight over and over and over. Even at the Republican conventions, we fought over closing the primaries. And the more conservative people are for the closed primaries, but the establishment and the machine likes them to be open.
Why?
Well, they like them to be open so much that they went to the General Assembly, and the General Assembly passed a bill stating that they must be open. Mm-hmm. Okay, where the General Assembly feels that they should intervene in the party affairs like that, and how they felt that should be a state law is beyond me. That's something that the party should decide, whatever, however they want to do it, however they want to hold their primary. Unfortunately, now, as of last year, it is now the law that we have open primaries here.
Now, just what do you mean by open? In other words, in Massachusetts, well, I was registered as an independent. When I went in to vote in the primary, I could choose which ballot I wanted.
Yeah, that's open.
I don't mean that in that case. Unaffiliateds can choose which ballot they want.
Okay. You can't
Democrats
be.
Cannot vote in our primary. We can't vote in theirs. But unaffiliateds can choose which one they want.
And you will have people that will go and change their registration for the purposes of the primary, so that they can pick.
They will change the unaffiliated.
Yes, so that they can choose your candidate.
They can choose the weaker of our.
Oh, so they can mess you up.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we got Romney and McCain.
Well, as I was registered unaffiliated because I felt like. As a blogger, because Right Wing Granny was started in Massachusetts, that even though I was considered a conservative blogger, I wanted to keep some appearance of independence.
You silly girl.
Yeah, I know. What was I thinking? But I discovered when I got to North Carolina that if I registered as unaffiliated, that it was not as easy to become an observer or a poll worker. So because I felt like I wanted to do that, I changed to Republican, which was the obvious choice. I agree with you that an open primary is probably not a good idea, but I don't understand why unaffiliated can't be observers and poll workers.
Because they're assigned by the party. They're observing for the party. They're not observing for the election board.
Oh, so they're not
right. For the party.
They're there for the purpose of, yeah.
And if they find
the party's interest.
If they find a discrepancy and go to the chief judge, then and it doesn't get resolved, then they have to go to their own party's legal arm to go and try to take some.
Okay, then that makes sense. Now I got it now. Okay, we had.
You want to go do masks? Let's do masks.
Well, yesterday there was a hearing at the North Carolina Department of Labor was having a public hearing about re-implementing masking and social distancing. And don't we all love the thought of that coming back?
No.
But anyway, a couple left-leaning groups had filed petitions earlier this month asking the Department of Labor to reinstitute those measures because, of course, they've got to generate fear because we've got another election coming up. So let's get the drop boxes and the mail-in ballots going again. So anyway, the hearing was yesterday, and the good news is that the majority of the people in attendance were against the mask mandates, including doctors and nurses and healthcare officials. They made a comment that it's recently come out that even Fauci said that social distancing of 6 feet came out of nowhere. It just appeared. It was an arbitrary. But I wanted to give kudos to two of the candidates that are going for the Department of Labor position, John Hardister and
Luke
Farley. Both were in attendance at this meeting, and both of them came out against the mandates and the social distancing and the infringement on our freedoms and the overreach of the government. So I think that was a positive for both of them. And it's just basically infringing on our rights, and we don't want this to happen, so.
Okay.
Well, before they can do something like that, they've got to declare a state of emergency.
Correct.
And the parameters are different now than they were.
We have new rules.
Yeah.
Right, they did talk about the new rules, and something that I think I needed to keep in context was that these ideas, these mandates were not coming from the Department of Labor. They were coming from other political groups. So this is not, in my mind, a health issue. It's a political issue.
It's a political issue because I have my license here. So every day I get all the updates from FDA whenever we have problems with food expirations, licenses, anything to do with mask mandate, hospitals. Some hospitals are mandating, some doctors that are private are mandating it. They're supposed to put a sign on the door, so if they have the sign on the door, you cannot go in because it's private. if you go to, for example, bigger hospitals, they're not mandating it. There's been a lot of doctors that are against it, and they will not go back to that ever again after what they went through. I will not. If I am the next lieutenant governor for North Carolina, that is an absolute no. Those masks do not work. That whole being locked up at home was planned for us to spend money and shift the money to outside companies outside of North Carolina, which is Amazon and China, which that's not gonna happen again. We need to go back to people that sell stuff, make stuff, farmers, go back outside and purchase stuff with people that are inside North Carolina. We shouldn't have to go outside of North Carolina. We have enough things here that we don't need to go out. So no mask for me. I am out on mask.
The biggest transfer of wealth in American history took place during the COVID lockdown, when the little guy was put out of business and the corporations raked in millions. We need to not go anywhere near that again.
The last I saw, over half of the restaurants that were in existence before COVID went out of business.
Mm-hmm. Chapel Hill was the biggest one. Mm-hmm. Chapel Hill lost about three big 43-year-old companies.
And of course, everybody needs to remember that during that, if you needed to go to church, you had to go to the plumbing department of Lowe's in order to have church, because all the churches were declared closed.
Exactly. And we were forced to go on a computer, Zoom, mess up our eyes, glaucoma. Now yeah. We're suffering from other things because we're on our computer screen.
I noticed two things out of it. One, they got us well trained. You queue up nowadays, everybody stands 6 feet apart. And the other thing, like like you pointed out also, we use masks for dust mm-hmm. in a shop. I had a hell of a time buying them.
yeah.
And they're all from China.
Yeah.
Dollar Tree, all from China.
Yeah. What makes us think that they didn't come pre-infected?
They did.
Okay,
sorry.
I'm going to declare that we've had enough for right now. Thank you for joining with us. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call. You have a wonderful week.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.